be fantastic. Thank you. I'm bringing greetings to you from last week. I went to Stanley Road to in Morecambe to our beloved Baptist church there. And Stephen and the fellowship there, Stephen Hewitt, sent you their greetings. It was a real pleasure to go and minister to the folk down there. Stephen reminded me that the last time I went there was about 7 years ago, the week before he was actually ordained and inducted as a Baptist minister. Some of you who don't know Stephen, Stephen was part of this fellowship for many, many years before I came. And then when I arrived, he decided he wanted to become, I think he was like a sport correspondent, wasn't he, for The Guardian, something like that. And then he decided to go on and spread the good news through churches. And so he's now a Baptist minister, and I'm very proud to announce that he is now with me on a team of welcoming people who are exploring the calling to ministry. Is helping me out with discerning that call. So he's a good lad, him and Alan from Caton. So I'll make sure that I've got support around for them. I've got them both onto the MinRec team as such. So they sent you their love, and it was great to be with them. And thanks to David who took the service here last Sunday, and I'm sure you had a real blessing. Now, I love it preaching like this, because there's no series. So between now and June, we have no series. Whoever preaches, including myself, just has to rely fully on the Lord, what he would like to say to the congregation. I think it's good for us sometimes to allow the Spirit of God to come and speak to the preacher, and then to speak in the situation of the church. So as I was preparing for this message for this morning, this last few days, I was thinking, oh, what would you like me to say? What would you like me? Where is our congregation? Where are our people? And I felt exactly what Debbie just described this morning, to reassure you of his walk with you, of his presence with you, of his provision, of his faithfulness for you. That's all I want to share with you this morning, God's word of encouragement, as we heard from the house groups. In a world especially that seems so desperate and lacking of hope, is full of discouragement, is full of worries, fears, anxieties. We seem to have to be living in a social, in even a moral turmoil just now. And I wanted this to be an oasis of encouragement to you. And the picture and the passage that I'm going to use doesn't necessarily bring to mind green pastures. I wonder, have we got the PowerPoint? Has it come? No. I don't know what happens. It's my email or whatever. The PowerPoint is not there. But imagine, if I were to ask you here, be honest, how many of you here in this church like walking? Hands up. Good. How many of you like walking through the woodlands, through the woods? Good. How many of you like walking by the sea? Oh, that's good. How many of you like walking on the mountains? Look, do a number again. You're all fit. You look fit. Not like me. How many of you would like to walk to the north or the south pole? Men, oh, and women, yeah, that's good. Oh, may the Lord be with you and fulfill your dream. If that's what you want, good luck with that. How many of you have ever, or would like to, if you had the opportunity, to walk to a desert, to a wilderness? That gentleman there, where are you from, sir? Where are you from? Oh, okay. He will walk to the
desert like we walk to the shopping
center. Without hair.
As a Zimbabwean, of course you do.
Walk to the desert. The only privilege I ever had to see how a desert looked like is when I flew with David to Nigeria, and we flew for about 3 hours over Europe and then over the Mediterranean, whatever, and then it seemed like another 3 hours over the desert, over the Sahara. And all you could see is just dunes and dunes, and everything is orange, and it's all the same terrain. It looks so boring and arid, and there's nothing around, and you don't see anything around. It's just, I'll never forget that image, flying for nearly 3 hours over the Sahara. And I thought, who will ever want to walk to a desert like that? Who will ever? Now, the wilderness, I think, is a very fearful place. I think it is. I only saw a little bit on the edges of the Sahara, and while we were in Nigeria, I experienced some of the dust and the sun that was coming into Nigeria from the Sahara while we were there. But very little, very, very little, such as an experience of... But I would imagine it's a very hot place during the day and a very dark and cold during the night time. And that gentleman there, he would like to walk through it. Well, may the Lord be with you. But none of us really will. I will walk any time to the Lake District, then I will walk to a desert, to a wilderness like that. I would not like not even to think about it, let alone to try and do it. God said to the Israelites, I'm going to take you to a walk, but it's not going to be to the Lake District. It's not going to be on the lovely Barth from the beach in Wales, on the lovely sandy dunes and beautiful blue water. It's not going to be either to the shopping center of Manchester or whatever. It's going to be a little bit to a wilderness. And I want you to come with me. And the Israelites were they weren't very keen on that. Because even though life was tough in Egypt, taking them to wilderness would be even tougher. Okay, I know you're going to promise and you're going to give us Canaan and the promised land, but we don't really want the wilderness. We don't really want the Sinai journey whatsoever. I think we'd rather stay here. We'd rather stay in Egypt. And you understand that when God took them to the wilderness, you understand their grumbling. Why have you taken us? You know, why you always give us manna and quail? You know, we had enough of that stuff. How many courses can you make with manna and with quail, or quail of meal? So they just had about enough. And wilderness, it's not a journey that we would like to go on. Because, and it's a shame I haven't got a PowerPoint, I had a superb picture of, you know, people, when... Some of you, how many of you have been to circus when you were little, when you were big? Yeah, some of you have been to circus. How many of you have seen those people who jump from a trapeze to another trapeze? Yeah? Well, if you notice that when they go into one, then they have to swing through the air to go to the other one. Have you seen that? And wilderness sometimes feels a little bit like that. It feels that we live one trapeze for another, and what we don't like is the middle bit when there is nothing to hold on. And God says to the Israelites, I'd like you to come with me to where there is no holding on, where there is just a desolate place, and I would like you to come and learn to trust me and follow me, and I will provide for you, as Debbie said this morning. I'd like you to do a trapeze with me on a spiritual journey and see how it feels. And I think many a times we don't like to go into that because it feels very, very dangerous place. Not a very nice place to be. And so, as God took them through the wilderness into that very between trapeze kind of place, they spoke against God. So I wonder if you have that verse from Psalm 78, Jeffrey. It's verse 19. They spoke, thank you very much. They spoke against God, saying, can God provide, be faithful, even when we are between trapeze? Can we trust this God to be faithful to us? Well, he calls us out of Egypt. bad as it is, and promise us this promised land, can we trust him with the middle bit? With this desert journey, with this wilderness trip that he takes us on? Can we trust him? Can God spread another table for us, even in the desert, even in the wilderness? Wilderness is a very solitary place. It's, you don't want to go in there. It's nothing in it. And you never, once you go in it, you 99.9% sure that you'll never come out of it. You feel abandoned, forgotten, discarded. And probably spiritually, financially, relationally, we've all been there and we're still in it. Waiting for the job interview, hoping for good news from the doctor. Wilderness is a very, very lonely place. Worrying about our children, wondering if we can hold on for another week, struggling with an addiction, trying to forgive and finding it hard. Wilderness is a difficult place to be. What about praying for a son or daughter? What about working on a very broken relationship? Or feeling stuck in one? Trying to rebuild our shattered dreams. Wilderness can feel very, very difficult and lonely place. In those tense, fearful moments, it's easy to think that God cannot provide a table, a spread to our needs, to fulfill our needs, to feed our soul, and to bring about his faithfulness. Wilderness is also very normally a solitary and a lonely place, but is also, I would say, for a Christian point of view, from a disciple's point of view of Jesus Christ, is a very necessary place. Can God spread a table in the wilderness? A table. Not just the food, but a table with the food on it. At the table, family come together to share a meal. At the table, family comes together to share life together. In Psalm 23, David says, "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemy." You remember how Psalm 23 starts? "You lead me beside quiet waters. You restore my souls. I lay down in green pastures." Let me tell you that David wrote that psalm at the end of 10 years of wilderness living. 10 years of wilderness living. Can God spread a table? Yes, David would say he can. That's why he wrote Psalm 23, because he came out of the wilderness after 10 years of it. And he said, "Yet God can, and he can lead me beside quiet waters. And he will restore my soul when I come out of the wilderness." You understand now why Psalm 23 was written? On the echo of those words. Can God spread a table? Asaph, the guy who wrote the Psalm 78, was the third musician in David's court. David was his mentor in a way. He knew what he was talking about. He wrote that psalm because he wanted the children of Israel to remember God's faithfulness, his provision for his people. He knew what David was talking about when he wrote those words too. Jesus told a story about a man hosting a very great banquet, a very great party, with many empty seats because some were invited, decided not to come. Because many don't like wilderness. Unless the table is set in a nice woodland place, in a nice peaceful place, shelter from wind and scorching sun, we do not want to come to that kind of table. Even if God can spread it, we do not want to come to it. We would rather go from the Egypt to the promised land, all to the green, beautiful valleys of lush meadows, and still waters, rather than through the wilderness. When we come to the Lord's table, all earthly distinction is set aside. I was in too much whether I should share this with you, but I am. Recently I went to a service in a church in the city, and we had communion there. I had to wear my collar and my suit in order to identify myself as a minister among all the other ministers in the town and from all over the world. And communion was served. And when communion was served, they said that those who do not belong to the specific faith, they are not to receive communion. So I could not take communion as a minister, dressed as one too, for that matter. I was not given communion, for that matter. This is not a criticism. I wanted to say how I felt. And the point I want to make is, we felt rejected. I felt very rejected. And thinking, what's wrong with me that I cannot come to the table that God spreads among his people? God spreads a table where there is no distinction, there is no hierarchy, there's no privileges, and it's for all. That's why I'm so proud of our church, to allow communion to all people, including children, to come before him, because it's his table, set in a desert, in a meadow, beside still waters, wherever it is, or wherever you are. It is still his table that we can come before him. Then we mentioned the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus feeds the 5,000. It says in a very remote place. If you notice that little sentence in Mark chapter 6, verse 35. In a very remote, in a desert place, in a wilderness place. At God's table, the food never runs out. 5,000 fed, and even more stuff left. And this is where the psalm comes in, this psalm, and says, he led them to the Red Sea. He delivered them from Pharaoh's power. He set them free from bondage and sin, as we sang. He protected them from plagues. He led them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He gave them water from the rock. But it was not enough. So they complained and said, can God spread a table in the desert? It was not enough. They still doubted the Lord. And we are just like them. When we get in trouble, we cry out, has God forgotten us? The wilderness shows us both our own weakness and how God can meet us in the most amazing ways. As long as you stay in Egypt, you will never need manna or quail, for that matter. But you won't experience the miraculous power of God's provision. It's a scary place to be in between trapeze. We'd rather be on one end or the other and never let go. It's a scary one to be right in the middle when you need to catch on the other lid. In the wilderness, I want to say lastly that it's not just a solitary place, that it's not just necessary for our growth as disciples of Jesus, but also it is a very temporary matter. The wilderness is not an easy place to be. As I said, it can be seen dangerous, lonely, deadly, risky, and hopeless. It's easy to get lost there. But it's also the place where you learn your own limitations. Where you and I face our own failures. Wrestle with temptation. Remember, after Jesus' baptism, what happened to Jesus? He was led by who? By the Spirit of God. Where? In the wilderness. Not an easy place to be. In the wilderness, we see God work in unusual ways. We learn to lean on others, find strength you didn't think you had, encounter the impossible, and learn what God is like. In the wilderness, you will see a table that he will spread before your enemies, before you. Where is your wilderness? Is it an unpleasant person? A difficult work situation? Learning to deal with grief? Is it your ministry? Is it losing your job? Is it fear? Cancer? A father or mother who abused you? How many of you are in the wilderness now with God and feel that there is no table before you? That God is not there. Only you and the Lord can answer that question. How many of you here, as you go through the wilderness, ask the question, can God really prepare a table of His faithfulness for me right now? Is God there to meet me? Do I feel His presence just now? That's what God does. He meets us when we feel abandoned and forgotten. Sometimes I think we become so weary because we like God's promises of a promised land, but we don't like His itinerary. We don't like His journey, the way He takes us on. We like to get there straight away. We like the fact that we got the ticket of His grace, but getting there, we don't want to follow quite exactly where He wants to take us through. Wilderness is a lonely place to go through. I don't think Jesus will ever make a great guide for shearings or Thomas Cooks or whatever it is, all these travel agents, because He will take people to some unusual places. You wouldn't want to pay a guide like that, would you? Really? Can God set a table in the wilderness? Yes, He can. But you will never know, and you will never taste the fruit of His grace from His table unless you leave to Egypt. Go and follow His itinerary onto the promised land that He calls you to. You will never know. The wilderness is never easy, but God has a purpose in there for you and me. Because victory is there, holiness is there, spiritual growth is there. The Holy Spirit is there. And Jesus is there. It was necessary, I'm going to close with those words, it was necessary for Jesus to go through the wilderness. It's necessary for us too. If it's good enough for Him, it is good enough for us. Think of it this way, the wilderness, okay, it's not a fun place. You just show only one person in the church put their hand up to say, we'd like to go to the wilderness. It's not a fun place. You always end up feeling alone and exhausted. And you will feel like giving up. We all do. You all wonder why God has abandoned us. Stand your ground, remember the promise. Cling to the Lord, do not turn back to the old. God never leads us, and I want you to remember this, never leads us into the wilderness in order to destroy us. He intends the time of testing to make us stronger, to learn who He is, about His faithfulness, about His promises, and about our obedience to Him. All this He may seem to us, when we are most filled with the Holy Spirit, we are most likely to be led through the wilderness. Can I say that to you again? We are most likely filled and sealed with the Spirit. That's most likely that God will take us through wilderness. Being in a ministry, in job, in faith. And this is your pastor, I will say I've been a few times. Even in my faith, even in my ministry. But it is there where you and I will meet the Lord, spreading His table of faithfulness and His ministry to us. He will never let go of our hand. The wilderness is not about you, it's about God. Your spiritual journey is not about you, it's about the faithfulness and the compassion of a very, very wonderful God. It is His kingdom that we are praying to come, not ours. Let it come. Let it come and let it start. with us in a place of wilderness where his table is spread. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge your presence here through your Spirit. We acknowledge your leading through your promises in our lives. We acknowledge your love for each one of us. We confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Father, as we come before you, we pray that you will reveal your table to each one of us who walked through the wilderness just now. Some of us are through the wilderness of doubt, of faith, of fear. Lord, reveal yourself to us. Some of us are walking through the wilderness of illness, poor health, worry and anxiety. Lord, spread a table before us. Some of us are walking through a wilderness of relationships. Be it abuse, unforgiveness, bitterness. Lord, spread a table before us. To those who walk through the wilderness, may your Spirit continue to lead them, fill them afresh, and reassure them that this is my beloved son or daughter with whom I am well pleased. Come, Holy Spirit, and minister your healing, your peace, and your promises to each one of us as we go through our own wilderness. I encourage you to pray that the Lord will minister to your place of wilderness where you are just now. As the worship group will lead us to a song or two, just let the Holy Spirit minister to you his grace and his faithfulness, his abundant promises, that he has a purpose for you in your wilderness.